Thank you so much. Thank you. You can be seated. And wow. I tell you, when Doris opens up, you just wonder, where does that big voice come from? I just thank God for it. We've been singing together for 49 years. That's how long we've been. We know that song and one other. I should say we've been singing together as husband and wife for 49 years. That's true. Rhonda and all of the office staff and all of the technical people, you've been so good to us. Thank you so much. And thanks for all the work, even my crazy iPad up there that sounded off at the wrong time. Thank you to all the technical people, all the folks who work in the office and the people who prepared stuff for us. So grateful to all the pastors, Pat and Christine, who took us to lunch today, and Leon for his tremendous work. You know, I'm so jealous. He works his left foot on the pedals. He works his right foot on the volume of the organ. He works one hand on the lower register, the other hand on the upper register. He's always pulling on the stops, and then he's singing and directing the music all at the same time. I have trouble walking and chewing gum. Like, and then I see someone like that. If I tried that, I'd fall off that organ bench. I would just fall right off. And all this wonderful music and all the musicians, we are so thankful that you have let us be a part of this. And all of you for receiving us with such open arms. Genuinely, we are genuinely grateful. And to Pastor Joel and Donna, thank you so much for your friendship. It means so much to us. And I wasn't joking this morning when I said, if I lived within 50 miles of this place, this would be my church home. This is a wonderful body of Christ. You are so fortunate. Thank God that he's led you here and planted you here. And I'm sure these missionary folks can tell you when they get overseas, they long to come back home to church and just sense this presence. I'll look forward to coming back. So if Doug Clay stumps his toe, just call me. I'll just come. Not that I want him to. I don't want him to. Doug has been honestly one of my strongest supporters. Many times I'd be on the road on a Sunday morning early, and Doug would call, text, and say, I don't know where you are, but I'm just praying for you. He's a wonderful young man, and you're going to have a great time with him. Well, I have one more message in me, and not a long message, but an important message about how to develop God confidence. I discovered a long time ago that I needed confidence, but I did not need confidence in myself. I did not need to be cocky, full of pride. I didn't need to push my chest out and say, I can do all of this. I needed to say, with God's help, if God wills, if God is in it, somehow I can do it. And so I'm just going to share with you some of my thoughts tonight, specifically using the book of Isaiah, chapter number 8, verse 11. And I'll read you some of chapter 8, beginning in verse 11, and we'll go from there. Here's what it says. For thus the Lord spoke to me with mighty power, with his strong hand upon me, and instructed me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, you are not to say it is a conspiracy in regard to all that this people call a conspiracy, and you are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy, and he shall be your fear, and he shall be your dread. Then he shall become a sanctuary, but to both the houses of Israel, a stone to strike and a rock to stumble over, and a snare and a trap for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Many will stumble over them. Then they will fall and be broken. They will even be snared and caught. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. I will even look eagerly for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. If you go back to verse 11, for thus the Lord spoke to me with mighty power, with his strong hand upon me, and instructed me. And instructed me. Father, bless your word to our understanding. Open our eyes and our ears to hear and to see what you're saying to us. Speak to us through a still small voice. Speak to us through our consciences. Speak to us as we hear the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Speak to us, Lord, through just a gentle breeze, the wave of the Holy Spirit coming through, we pray. Touch us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many of us, chapter 8 of Isaiah. There are many of us who have never had an epiphany, a vision of God, a heart-stopping encounter with God. But let me tell you, even if you have not, and I can only claim to a couple of them, in all my lifetime of serving God, but I have had them. But for you who've not yet, let me give you a promise from God's word. Even if God's never stopped you in the middle of the road or never awakened you in the middle of the night, here's what God says. God says through Ezekiel, he is Jehovah Shammah. And that means the Lord who is there. I've never yet been anywhere that God wasn't. I've never had to pray for him to come because he's always there. Now, I admit I do pray, oh, Lord, send your spirit and bless us, even though I know the Holy Spirit's already here. He came in with you when you came because he resides in you. Don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And yet we have this tendency to pray, Lord, we want a special visitation of your spirit, and we do. And sometimes God does break through time and space and somehow, some way interrupts your life. There are times when we just need an encounter with God. It was 3:30 in the morning in the church I pastored. We had been in a series of prayer meetings. We were in a 24-hour cycle of prayer on a Friday. We were praying all night Friday night, and we had about 60 people in the sanctuary that had lasted till about 3:30 in the morning. I was kneeling right over here, and right up there in our sanctuary, which was kind of a gym made into a sanctuary kind of thing, there was a big pull-out fan, a big door where there was a pull-out fan, and one of those great big fans. And so I was praying, and all of a sudden my peripheral vision caught this sight coming out of this pullout fan area up there. And as fast as it could come, there was the most horrible thing coming at me beyond my ability to describe it. I only had time to say Jesus one time. But between that wall and this altar, God moved in and blocked whatever horrible thing the enemy was sending toward me. As sure as I'm standing here, I could have died right there. I don't know what would have happened, but I know I had a visitation from God because he saved me from whatever it was that was coming at lightning speed to attack me. Sometimes you just need to know God is there. God is right there. Just one touch. Sometimes you just need the touch of a friend to keep you going. Just to know that God is there. This passage in Isaiah teaches us how an encounter with God occurs and what happens to a person who has an encounter with God. We're going to study Isaiah's encounter, and then we're going to apply just a few lessons we learn from his encounter. First of all, the exposition, verse 11. God confidence comes through an encounter with God. Isaiah 8:11, the Lord spoke to me in mighty power and instructed me. He gave me instructions. The setting of this passage is in Jerusalem. It's just before the invasion of the Assyrians coming down on the northern tribes called Israel. 722 BC is just around the corner. Isaiah has been prophesying now for maybe 20 or 25 years. He's already up in years by now. The person on the street in Samaria or Jerusalem did not believe Isaiah's message. They turned deaf ears. Political leaders in both Samaria and Jerusalem wanted to get Isaiah out of the way because he was speaking negatively of destruction.
People were calling Isaiah, the prophet of God, a traitor. They were saying he had betrayed Israel with his message. So Isaiah is saying, in all of this, the fact that he had the word of God, but the people were rejecting the word of God, he says, Lord, speak to me to let me know I've got the right message. Isaiah really needed help. Help to sort out what was happening all around him. That sounds to me like today. Do you understand what's happening in our world today? I have to tell you, I'm at a loss to explain some of the things that I hear and see happening in the world today, the events all around us. Where's war going to break out next? Where's there going to be a shooting next? Where's there going to be a killing next? What's going to happen? I don't know. But the strong lesson from Isaiah is that when he needed answers, he turned to God. Amen. That's God confidence at work. Amen. That when you need answers, you turn to God. Isaiah did not put the problems he faced at the center of his universe. We so often do that. Isaiah already had a center. God was at his center. God was at his core. The foundation of all things to Isaiah was the mighty God who sat on the throne. Ultimate authority was not with the devil. Ultimate authority was not with a dire circumstance or a petulant nation called Israel. Ultimate authority remained with God, the author and the finisher of our faith. And it still does. Isaiah heard the voice of God. Now, Isaiah was familiar enough with the voice of God to know what he heard. Developing God confidence is the goal. And if that's the goal, to get that kind of confidence that God's for us, who can be against us, that we're in God's mighty hand, if that's the goal, then we need to learn to listen to hear God. God will speak. Now, sometimes it will be with a trumpet blast, like we had a little earlier in the service. Sometimes it'll be with a still small voice, but God will speak. Sometimes it will be in a testimony in the middle of a church service or a song that someone sings that God speaks. Learn to listen. Come with your antenna up when you come to church, not just waiting for the preacher to preach to hear from God, but from the very first word that was said, listen, you might hear from God. Isaiah heard the voice of God, and then Isaiah felt the strong hand of God. Stanley Horton says that this phrase, with mighty power, represents the anointing of God resting heavily upon Isaiah. Resting heavily upon Isaiah. He sensed the presence of God. He knew that God confidence would come to him as the Spirit of God ministered to him. I tell you what I believe. I think God confidence comes through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I really believe that. I use as my example, Peter, he denied Christ 3 times before he received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But when he received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, he stood on the day of Pentecost and said, these men are not drunk as ye suppose, singing is but the 3rd hour of the day. But this is that spoken by the prophet Joel, saith God, I will in the last days pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And he preached a message that 3,000 people responded positively to, and 2,000 came a little later. He had God confidence. Because he had an encounter with God. Verses 12 to 16 tell me that Isaiah received a revelation from God. He received specific instructions about how he should conduct himself, what the nature of God was like, what he should say by way of prophecy to the people, even about the people who would receive his message. Let me just give you 4 things out of his message, verses 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. In verse number 12, Isaiah learned to disregard the jeers and the threats of those who opposed the message. That's a good word for us. There are people who oppose what you stand for. You have God confidence, so you disregard their threats. They are not God. Your God has spoken to you. You do what God says. Verse 12. Verse 13. Isaiah learned to hallow, to fear, and to respect the Lord of hosts as his authority. The lesson for you and for me is God is the ruler of our lives, and we give him the privilege of directing us wherever he wants us to go. Verses 14 and 15, Isaiah recognized the ever-present God would be one of two things to all of his people. First, he would be a sanctuary where people would go and find help, or he would be a stumbling block to thwart the plans and schemes of those who turn away from God's word. The nation of Israel had committed idolatry, and they were going to fail. They were going to be taken into captivity because of their idolatry. So the word of God would become a stumbling block to them. But to all that would believe, the word of God would be a sanctuary. They could run and hide in the ever-present God. And in verse 16, Isaiah tells us to keep on repeating God's message and confirming it among the people as the word of the Lord. We're to testify and to preach and to herald the truth of God's word. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples, he says. In other words, don't lose your testimony in this day of trial. More than ever, we need Christians who will stand up and tell what they believe. We need to have a testimony strong and true. In verses 17 and 18, as we go on, Isaiah shows us what a person with God confidence can do. The scripture tells me how I should conduct myself because I have confidence in God. The first part of verse 17, Isaiah determined to wait for the Lord. He was intent on building a foundation of faith in God. And he says, I will wait for the Lord. Now, right then, God was hiding his face from the house of Jacob and from the land of Israel. God wasn't showing himself, but Isaiah said, I have confidence that if I wait on him, he will show up. Do you believe that? Wait on the Lord. And then in the second part of verse 17, he determined to place his trust and his hope in God. The New American Standard puts it, I will look eagerly for him. Oh, I know what it's like to wait for someone. I know what it's like to wait for someone you love. And he is putting his trust in God, and he's going over to the window to see if the Lord's on his way. He's looking eagerly for him. I will put my trust in him, is how the NIV puts it. It simply means I'm not going to trust in chariots. I'm not going to trust in horses. I'm not going to trust in politics. I'm not going to trust in banks. I'm going to put my trust in God, and he will not disappoint me. And then in verse 18, he placed himself and his family at God's disposal. He says, Lord, my family and I are willing to be signs and wonders for your sake. In other words, if you want to do something outstanding, you can do it through us. We will tell of your wonders and of your glory. We will sing to the tops of our voices about your name. God confidence should show us that God will be with us. If we can just have faith, God will show up at just the right time. You know, Isaiah's name was Salvation of Jehovah. And when Isaiah had a son, his first son, he called him Shir Jashub, whose name in Hebrew meant a remnant shall return. Now, as far as I know, the remnant hadn't gone yet, but he's projecting ahead of time and saying, God's going to take this people away, but the people are going to come back. And just to show you I believe it, I'm going to name my son that. His family was stamped with the truth of the word of God. The third thing I want to show you, I'll go a little further than what I read in verses 19, 20, 21, and 22. The God-confident person receives a message from God. Now look at verse 19. Consult the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter. Should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? He goes on to mock them. He's saying, why don't you people who don't believe in God, why don't you just consult your God? Now, you know that every time this happens in the Bible, God always wins. I was on a trip to Myanmar. I mentioned that a little earlier, but I was actually able to preach the 30th anniversary of the Assemblies of God out in Myanmar back a few years ago, and I was taken by an official government tour guide to Shwedagon Pagoda. It's one of the biggest pagodas in all that part of Asia. It covers dozens of acres on the top of a mountain. In the middle of it is this big, round, bell-shaped
thing. Then around that are eight different altars with sculptured pigs and cows and all different kinds of animals around the altar where people worship. Every one of those gods that those people worshiped was made of stone. I noticed that. Made of stone. People were there consulting their God. They were buying food to put on the altar of their God. They were buying flowers to put on the altar of their God. But not one of those stone gods was answering them. One young man was there with a 13-month-old baby in his arms. He had traveled 14 hours to get there. That baby had a terminal sickness and was going to die unless God undertook. He had spent all of his money to come from up in the north of Myanmar down to Yangon. We used to call it Rangoon. And there he had used the rest of his money to buy supplies for the altar, food and flowers and incense. Just hoping beyond hope that somehow this God in the shape of a pig that he was praying before would somehow heal his baby, but nothing happened. I felt so sorry. I could not say a word to him, but I felt so sorry for him. What could be done? I wanted to shout out, I know a God that's not made of stone. I know a God whose ears are not carved out of a piece of rock. I know a God whose heart is not a stony heart. I know the true and the living God who is full of love and mercy and understanding and power. And if you'll call upon him in the name of Jesus, he will hear you and he will deliver you. Wow. The truth is, Isaiah had been in the presence of God. He had experienced a divine revelation. He knew something. Here's what Isaiah knew. Isaiah knew that God-confident people turn to God for answers. There are vexing problems of life. God-confident people turn to God. I'm sure this has happened to Pastor Joel, but I've sat in the pastor's office for many years and I would have somebody come in and they would begin to talk to me about their problem, and I would reach over and grab my Bible. And I've had people say this to me: I don't want you just to open that Bible and read something out of it to me. And I would look them straight in the face and say, I'm sorry, I don't have anything else to offer you but the power of the Word of God. You see, God-confident people turn to God. Now, I understood what these people were saying. They didn't want some off-the-cuff answer. They wanted a genuine, real answer. And so I got to where someone would explain the problem, and I would say, you know, I'm going to take your problem to prayer. Why don't you come back tomorrow? I will have prayed, and I'll see what God has to say to you. Now, a lot of people didn't want to do that either, because they'd had the problem for 6 years, and it just struck them that day to come talk to the pastor, and they wanted an immediate answer. After all, pastors are supposed to have immediate answers. My point is not to talk bad about people of the past. It's simply to say, God-confident people turn to God for answers. Isaiah warns the people, don't seek other sources of help. Don't go to others with life's greatest questions. God-confident people say, the source of our help is God. The source of our counsel is the Holy Spirit. The source of our help is a God-ordained man or woman who can speak the truth of the Word of God to us. God-confident people always turn to God's word, to the law, and to the testimony, Isaiah says. His point is that only the word of God can give us the light we need to discern right from wrong. And God-confident people know that the people who do not seek the Lord will be hungry, abandoned, alone. The circumstances of life will eat them alive. They need to turn to God. Let me bring this message to a close with three great truths. Number one, if you're going to be a God-confident person, you must listen when God speaks. Now, I'm going to reiterate a little bit of what I said yesterday morning, but some of you weren't there, so it'll be okay. And some of you that were there, it'll be okay to repeat it too. God speaks through the godly lives of others. That's why it's so important to belong to a good church. You can watch
a brother or sister that is more mature in the Lord. And time after time, God will speak through that person's life. How did they handle this? How did they go through this? How did they walk through this difficult place? You can watch them and see that even though they walked through a really deep trial, they never lost faith in God. Through the circumstances of life, God-confident people listen to God. Sometimes God speaks through your circumstances. Sometimes he takes you through the valley to get your attention and speak to you there. Sometimes God speaks through the gifts of the Spirit, like he's done all day today, where he's given us words of prophecy and tongues and interpretation. Did you listen? God was speaking. Sometimes God speaks way back in the recesses of my mind with a still small voice. He doesn't knock me down. I wish he would. It's always much better if he'll slap you to the ground and then speak to you while you're down, with your hand on your cheek, smarting from the smack you just got. You know, you just listen better that way. Okay, I'll listen now. How many of you were the kind of child growing up who never listened till your dad raised his voice? Yeah, we're kind of like that. If it's important, he'll yell at us about it. Well, sometimes God chooses not to yell. He just gives us that urging in the backs of our minds. God-confident people listen to the still small voice that speaks. But the number one way God speaks to us is through his word. I want you to devour it, to swallow it. I want you to chew up the truths of it. I want you to live by its truths on a daily basis. Second application is this: God-confident people respond when God speaks. Response will always require faith. This is where God confidence comes in. Are you able to take the step? No, but God working in you is able to take any step that he calls you to do. Sometimes the best response is to wait on God. Sometimes the first response is to step out. You just have to listen to what God is saying. But all of us should be willing at any time to say, Lord, I'll put all my resources at your disposal. Do what you want of me. And the third application is this: God-confident people share God's word. God said that no one lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel or a basket. When God sets us ablaze with a message, it's our job to get out there and preach the message that God set us ablaze with. When God speaks to me, I want to tell it. These sermons and lessons that I've given you are what I've been studying since the very hour that Pastor Joel called me. And I've just been praying, Lord, just speak to me and I'll just get up and say what you say what you would have me say. And I have to tell you, these are not necessarily the messages. My wife can tell you, these are not one of my 13 road messages. These are not just, I've just tried to listen to God. Because I have confidence in God that if I say what he tells me to say, somehow he'll work it out for your good. Somehow he'll bring the truth to you, even though I might stumble over a scripture or put a wrong text up there or something like that. But you'll understand. I'm just trying to be obedient. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. Except I'm trying to be obedient to God. Just to say, will you listen? We should make sure God-confident people, when they stand up, always speak the word of God, and they always speak it like God says it. Our words will pass away, but God's word will not pass away. But there's something powerful about how we speak. There are people who write me notes and say, you remember that time when you preached? And I'm thinking back over 35 years or so since I preached that message that they say they heard me preach, and they quote some line in it. And I'm like, how could you remember anything I said 35 years ago? Because it was a God moment for them. And the truth came home to them. The word that God gives will provide a ray of hope. A desperate person needs a ray of hope to survive. And a God-confident person will step out with the smallest bit of hope and say, I'm going to step out for God. I think God's talking to somebody right now about ministry and missions. We've talked about that tonight. I think God's talking to someone about a missions trip, about going somewhere, and I think you need to listen to God. I think God's speaking to someone, maybe a family who are just, you're just kind of, you're saying, let's go, and the other one's saying, no, no, and you're,
Listen, if God's speaking to you, he'll make a way for you. It's not the bottom line. And my wife and I teach finance. It's not, and we are good stewards, I can guarantee you. And so I'm not telling you to disregard your finances. I'm simply saying sometimes it's not the bottom line that tells the story. It's God confidence that lets you see if you step out, God provides. Somebody needs that word tonight because God's speaking to somebody in this congregation. God's telling you to expand your ministry, expand your borders, go outside where you're comfortable and stretch out to a place that he will show you. Even though everybody about you is telling you you're nuts for doing it, you look them in the face and say, if God's called us, he'll make a way. He'll make a way. He'll make a way. Day after day, these missionaries, these folks who've lived overseas can tell you, you have to depend on God every day. Because you never know what's going to come your way in a day's time. When you put your feet on the floor in the morning, you have to depend upon God all day. That's not a bad place to be, where you have to depend upon God all day. That's not bad. That's good. That's what Isaiah found out. He couldn't depend on the government. They were going to kill him if they could catch him. He couldn't depend upon the priests down at the temple. They hated him for his message. He was being chased around. He was going to be jailed for his message. He could not depend on protection from anybody except the Lord. And yet he stepped out and he said what God told him to say because he had God confidence. Will you do that? Let's bow our heads. Father, in Jesus' name, will you just touch us right now? And will you help us to develop God confidence? Confidence that breaks through all the reasons why not and helps us to see why. Confidence that strengthens us and helps us to know that you're there. Would you listen, my friend? The Spirit of the Lord is speaking. He's got something for you tonight. Let him speak to you. I believe in my heart of hearts that God's touched someone. And you have, I'm not saying you have a call to full-time ministry, vocational ministry. God may not call you to leave your job, but God's called you to a ministry. I don't know what the ministry is. I don't have that part of the story. I just know God's touched you and says, I want you to do this for me. But you have given him excuses and reasons why not. And the Lord would just have you know that if you will release your faith, if you'll believe God, he'll see you through. You can do what he's called you to do if you'll have confidence in him. Will you receive that tonight? Would you just receive that tonight? I believe that God's given somebody in this room a means, a way to step out and be whole. You feel like you've been torn apart. I don't have all the picture. I don't know if you faced an illness or if you faced an issue of some kind, but you just feel like you're torn in two over this thing, whatever it is you faced. Do you have confidence in God to step out and believe that he'll put you back together again tonight? I believe that he will. We're going to see what God will do tonight. Would you stand to your feet? Will you stand to your feet? And I'm just bold enough to ask. I mean, honestly, God's in charge, not me. So I'm just bold enough to ask, if God's spoken to you in some way through this message tonight or through this entire weekend, and you need to settle something with God, when the first note of the song, when we first start to sing, would you slip out and come to this altar? The person next to you, they won't mind you asking them to move so that you can get out. You won't be a bother to them, because that's why we came to church on Sunday night. And we just have a few minutes left. Let's make the most of it. I have confidence that the people who need to be at this altar will be here if they will just release their faith in God and step out. So I'm going to ask you, if God's spoken to you, step out. Brother Leon, begin to sing when you want to, and you step out. Some are coming. Lord, as people come, we need people to come help us.
I confess.
Yes, you see what God's doing?
Bowing here.
God's been speaking to people.
I find
this is God's word in action. Let's just let him move. Hallelujah.
I fall apart.
Hallelujah.
You're the one.
Pastors, feel free to work the altar, and spouses of the pastors, feel free to just go from side to side as God leads you. Any of the elders that want to help us pray, just feel free to come and help us pray. Our missionaries, come and help us pray. God will lead you to somebody. God will tell you who. Jesus. You see, God's at work. Step out. Be confident, not in yourself, but in God. God's called you to this altar. He's going to do what He said He would do. Sing it again. He's going to do just what He said He would do.
Where sin runs deep.
Hallelujah.
Your grace is more.
Amen.
Where grace is found.
He's going to do what He said He would do. Yes, He is. Yes, He is.
Where You are, Lord, I am free.
Jesus.
It's holiness, is Christ in me. And Lord, I'm
I don't mean to presume, and I thought I was finished, and then I felt instructed that I needed to pray a blessing over you. You've been so kind to us, and I've tried to thank you for everything, the offering, the school. I need to go to Egypt during the spring semester because I've not visited that as one of our learning centers. It's kind of part of my responsibility. Not that anything's wrong, but I just need to see it because I raise students and money for it, and I need. And thank you for helping. There's no way I could have done it probably except with your help. I'm just so thankful. I feel like I just need to extend a blessing to you. But the thing that God put on my heart is that the Lord's going to raise up out of this congregation even more men and women who have an urgency to preach, teach, share the message of Christ through all kinds of means, not just preachers, because we often think, I'm not called to be a preacher, but through all kinds of means, God is going to raise up an army of people out of this congregation over the years to come. You're a great missions church. You have a great heart for the world. You have a great heart. And out of that, God's going to answer your prayer, but he's going to do it with some of your own young people. And now it's really good to pray for somebody else's young people to go 10,000 miles away. I don't want you to be discouraged in any way, but I'm just believing God that the ones now out of this congregation are a down payment, their earnest money on a future group. God's not finished with this church yet. You've just begun, really. And so I'm just going to pray a blessing over you. Just leave you with that word. I didn't plan to say that. I felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to give you that word of encouragement. Father, bless this great church. Beginning with the pastoral leadership of the Stockers and through the associate pastors that help him so, and the staff that holds his hands up like Aaron and Hur did, the hands of Moses. The organization that's been built in every area, youth, children, missions, men, women, outreach of all kinds. You've done such a wonderful work in this place. And this wonderful church is a lighthouse to this entire community. People know it is a stable place because of the stability of Pastor Stocker over these many years, and the stability of the members, and the stability of the growth, and all that you've done here speaks of a place where God works. And I just pray, Lord, that you will ever increase the faith of this church. The collective faith, as they get together in groups, whether to talk about missions or whether to talk about increase or expansion or whatever you lay on their hearts, help them to exercise God confidence. I pray that blessing. And Lord, I do pray the blessing of workers. As Pastor said this morning, you said to your people, Jesus, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. And we do pray that tonight. And we stand with our own children and youth in our hands, lifting them up before you, saying, Lord, here's the best we have to offer. Here's the dearest things to our hearts, our own children, the dearest ones. And even they are open for your call to be sent at a proper time when they grow to a certain age, trained to be sent into all the world to preach the gospel. I pray a blessing of strength and power and might in ministry over this congregation in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Joel. You are good.
has been good to us.
You are good. He's so good. So good to us. And your mercy is forever.
Person, give them a wonderful week. May they just increase in your favor, oh God. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can stay for as long as you want, or you can feel free to be dismissed at this time.
Sing, you're so good to me.